I say I had to jump on you, amen? All right. Well, it's good to be in the Lord's house this morning. Good to see you this morning. And again, it's good to have a visitor with us this morning. And again, y'all make her feel at home. And we're glad to have the Word of God, most of all. Glad to have God's presence. You know, not the Bible, but the old song we sing every now and then about it. I keep saying the Bible. That old song says, "All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One come down." And that's true. Unless God opens your understanding of the Word of God, you're just going to sit here and look at a book. You need to meet with God Almighty. Don't let that thought escape you. You, look at me. Look up here, every eye up here for just a second, and then y'all go back to doing whatever you're doing. Okay? You are here to meet with God Almighty. You are here this morning to have God Almighty speak directly to you. What a privilege we have. Let us not ever get dull of that understanding that we are here, privileged people, children of the Most High. If you're saved, you are the most precious person in the whole wide world to God. What a privilege, what an honor, what a glory to know that we have been washed clean of our sins, that our name has been written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, that we don't have to expect hell at the end, that there's heaven forevermore. Hallelujah, glory to God. I'm going to tell you something. I can get excited on a wet, dreary, cool Sunday morning, amen. Doesn't make no difference how many people's here. Doesn't make any difference what's working and what's not. I'm excited because God saved my old wretched soul. Amen. Having said all that, let's get into the Bible. Amen. What I'm going to preach to you this morning has nothing to do with salvation, but I want to help you this morning. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. We're going to look at verses 1 through 5 before we get started. I want to preach. I've been wanting to preach on this for quite some time. I've had this on my mind to preach on this, and I was asking myself, did I preach on this? I can't remember if I preached on this. I really don't remember, to be honest with you. I preached on so many things, I lose track of it. Even though I keep them saved on a computer, I still lose track of what I preached on and what I haven't. But it hadn't been lately if I did. But this is a very important subject, especially in this time that we live in this climate that we live in. All right? Have you found it? If you have, say amen. All right. If you hadn't, just look where you're at, and we won't know the difference. Matthew 7, 1 through 5. The Bible says, "Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye mete, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that's in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye." I want to talk to you this morning on the subject of judge not. Amen? We hear that all the time. Judge not, a little Polly Parrot message that anytime you say anything somebody doesn't like, that's their response. Judge not. Well, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer, and we're going to talk about that this morning. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Father, we're thankful this morning. Thankful that we have the Word of God. Thankful that it is the source of our faith and the source of our practice, Lord. All that we know of Thee, we know from the Word of God. All that we are to know in this world that's any importance comes from the Word of God. Lord, I'm thankful for it. Lord, it's precious to me. And I pray, Lord, this morning You'd help me to preach from it, Lord, and be a help to Your people. Lord God, I pray that You'd help me to be careful when I speak. Lord, only speak what You'd have me to say. Lord, I need Your power today. I need, Lord, Your direction and Your guidance. Lord, I throw myself on the mercy of the Holy Ghost, and I beg for unction and power. I pray this morning You'd guide me to say exactly what ought to be said, just as it ought to be said, as if You, Jesus, were here in person and preaching the words Yourself. I pray, Lord, that you'd help me to be careful to preach it how you'd want me to. Holy Spirit, empower me and guide my words. Help each and every one. Lord, I pray that their understanding would be open. As Jesus said many times, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And I pray, Lord, that each one here this morning and each one who will listen this morning on the internet would have ears to hear. And Lord, that they might receive the word of God. Lord, that it might help them in their stand for you. Father, please bless us this morning. Help us now. We pray for your power. Lord, we come before you, Lord, as humble sinners, Lord, in need of cleansing, Lord, in need of help, Father, in need of your strength. Please meet every need. Touch every life. We thank you ahead of time for what you'll do this morning. Lord, I just need you now. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to begin this morning by reading a little piece of an article that I was looking at yesterday, and I can't remember what the man's name. I want to say his name was Dave Servant or something of that nature. It's not somebody I knew or normally read, but it said basically what I wanted to say. And it goes like this. He said, anyone, and this is on the subject of this judge not. He said, anyone who holds to any standard of righteousness in our culture of tolerance is in trouble. If you say, for example, that homosexuality is perversion, abortion is murder, sex outside of marriage is a sin, or that Jesus is the only way to heaven, get ready to be labeled. You will be categorized as intolerant because intolerance is not tolerated in our culture. You may also be branded as closed-minded because our culture is not open-minded to anyone who is closed-minded. You may be criticized for being critical. And you will probably be branded as unloving because our culture just hates people who aren't loving. They should really start putting bumper stickers on their cars that say, I do not tolerate people who are intolerant. If you don't see the humor in that, you ain't looking. Quite often, those who are not tolerant of intolerant Christians often cite the Bible to prove how wrong intolerance is. Judge not, they quote Jesus as saying. They construe Christ's words to mean that no one has the right to make a moral appraisal of anyone else. In so doing, however, they make more a moral appraisal of those whom they accuse of making moral appraisals. If you say, homosexuality is wrong, they say, don't judge. And in the process, they commit the very crime of which they find you guilty. They do. I've heard it. I don't know how many of you have heard that very thing when you've had an opinion on something and you spoke out against something and somebody came back with, hey, it's wrong to judge. You shouldn't judge people. Anybody in here ever come across that? You shouldn't judge others. That's wrong. It's the rallying cry of the liberal left in politics. It's the cry of sinners who don't want to be made uncomfortable in their sin. Don't you tell me what's wrong. You're judging me. How dare you judge me? They say, only God will judge me. Well, they're right about that. He's going to judge them, amen. Now get this. It's a message that is given by some church folks who have been given over to political correctness and soft prosperity preaching. Amen. I'm talking about the ones who sit at home and do nothing but watch Joel Osteen and get the feel-good message. They never hear anything about sin. They never anybody, nobody ever steps on any toes. It's all God's going to be this for you, and God's going to be, and I'm not saying God isn't our all in all, because he is our all in all. And God is able to do the impossible. He's able to make the impossible possible. He's able to do all things above that you're even able to ask or think. The Bible does say all that. But God is not our spiritual Santa Claus that we go to and sit on his knee and just tell him everything we need, and he just automatically has to give us everything we want. That's not the way God works. Amen. God is also a judge. Amen? And He judges righteously. But now, wait a minute. They say, now Jesus said you shouldn't judge. Jesus said you shouldn't judge. Judge not, judge not, judge. I sound like an old parrot. Judge not, judge not, judge not. Pretty bird. I mean, that's what they sound like. Well, did Jesus really say that? Let's take a look. Let's examine the context of the passage we just read. And if we do, we'll see that the Lord Jesus is not condemning all judging. He's condemning a certain kind of judging. He's condemning hypocritical judging. That's the only kind of judging He's condemning, amen? Let's look at it again in verse 5 of chapter 7, which we just read. He said, thou hypocrite. Amen? That's who He's addressing, is the hypocrite. First, cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. To forbid something in another person that I allow in my own life is hypocrisy. And it's a serious, deep-rooted sin. Now listen, for a parent to tell his children not to listen to rock music or rap music when they listen to country and western music is hypocrisy. Amen. Now, I covered country music last week, and if you don't remember it, get the CD. Amen? It'll be a tremendous help to you. But that's hypocrisy. You can't listen to your music that talks about sex before marriage and rebellion and drugging and drinking, but I can listen to mine because it's got a different beat. It sounds different. It's hypocrisy. Because mine talks about the same thing yours does. It's just mine you can two-step to, and yours you just act like an idiot. That's hypocrisy. To tell my children not to smoke, drink, and cuss while I smoke, drink, and cuss is hypocrisy. To tell your kids to go to church when you don't go to church is hypocrisy. I realize I'm preaching to the choir on that this morning because you're all in church. But there's people who go listen to this on the internet that'll be sitting at home, ain't going to church. May have kids in Sunday school. To tell your kids to be serious about God's will for their life when you're not that serious about God's will for your life is hypocrisy. To insist that your kids get along with each other when you and your spouse don't get along with each other is hypocrisy. To insist that your kids respect their mother when you don't respect their mother is hypocrisy. To insist that your kids obey their dad when you don't obey their dad is hypocrisy. To expect your kids to care about lost sinners when you don't give a rip about them is hypocrisy. And that's the kind of thing that Jesus was warning about. And y'all pray for me. Amen? Because I don't want these things in my life. I don't want to be a hypocrite in any way. And ain't none of us is perfect. There ain't none of us that doesn't have a little bit of it in us. And we've got to be careful because we are examples and testimonies for those who are coming up behind us. But this is the type of thing that He was warning us about. Now, that's not to say that Jesus forbids judging in general, because that's not the case. But that's right there is what He was talking about. But He's not condemning all judging. And if you look later down in this text in chapter 7, you're going to see it, and that's what I wanted us to look at this morning. I just threw all that at you just for extra, amen? But the same sermon here, you'll see, if you look down in chapter 7, verse 15, you'll see that He warned about false prophets. Now look, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. They look like any other preacher. They sound like any other preacher. Hey, they've got people in their congregation. They have altar calls. Hey, they do work in the community. They have a steeple. They have a sign. They have a parking lot full of cars. There are songbooks in their racks. They wear suits. They speak eloquently. They are wolves in sheep's clothing. How do you know? Because you have to judge what they're preaching. You have to judge the fruit of their ministry. If you only go on appearance, you cannot judge. Amen. That's what the Lord's telling us. He said, beware of false prophets. You can't beware of some if you don't judge it for what it is. Amen. He said, on the outside, they look like sheep, but inwardly are ravening wolves. Now, the wolves coming to eat the sheep. He said, ye shall know them by their fruits. That's what they produce. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. It's impossible to beware of these false prophets without being able to judge their doctrine and their actions by something. What? The Word of God. You've got to examine everything. Listen to me. This is the Christian microscope. Amen? By which we are to look at this world. That's what we're going to see this morning. That's why they hate this book. You understand me, don't you? That's why the world hates this book. That's why the politicians of this world would have you get rid of this book. That's, hey, listen, the people who would turn this nation into an oligarchy, or you don't even have to know what that means. The ones who want to be dictators and put you all as slaves under them, they want to get rid of this book because this book sets you free. You understand? This book gives you liberty. And those who want to control your thoughts and control your actions and control your lives hate this book because it's impossible to enslave a Bible-believing people. Because if Christ has set us free, we're free indeed, you understand? You have to have a way to judge what's true and what's false. How can I know if a man's a false prophet if I don't measure him? You say, a preacher? Yes, by the Word of God. It is God's measuring stick, amen? And if we'll look, we're going to find this fact of judging all through Scripture, amen? And that's what we're going to do this morning is look at this all through Scripture, amen? And in other passages in the Bible, we're commanded to judge. Now, I want you to turn to John 7. John 7, 24. You turn there ahead of time, and we're going to read that in a few other verses. But we're going to look here and see that the Lord Himself, look here, He said that we are to judge righteous judgment. Righteous judgment. Now listen, this is important that you understand what I'm saying. John 7:24 says, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. You can't look and see how something looks on the surface and just get an assessment of what it really is if you just glance at it. You need to look. There's a reason why the Lord says that an evil tree produces evil fruit. Amen? Hey, you go out in the woods, if you're hungry enough, you just eat anything, it'll kill you. Some things will kill you. Amen? And if you just go through life ignorantly saying, oh, well, that's spiritual, so it must be good and of God, some things that claim to be spiritual are deadly. Amen? I warned you Wednesday night about Duck Dynasty. Hey, listen, it looks good. They're all funny and everything, but I'm going to tell you something. They believe that water in a baptistry washes sins away. They preach the damnable doctrine of baptismal regeneration. They belong to the Church of Christ, and they believe that water that comes from the city of West Monroe, Louisiana, or whatever city you're living in, has the power to wash sins away, that is what does it. That's what they teach. It's called Campbellism. Came from a man a long time ago. He used to be a Baptist and changed and like to ruin Baptist churches in America. They still teach that. They believe that. You've got to be careful. You can't just latch on something because they call it spiritual. Well, it looks good. They call on Jesus. They talk about the Father. They ask His blessing. They pray at the end of the show. I know it's funny. I enjoy watching their redneck humor, but I can tell you this. I don't bank on their religion. Now listen to this. I'm going to read a few. You ain't got time to turn to all these. Proverbs 17:15. Listen to this. He that justifieth the wicked, and he that condemneth the just, even they both are abomination to the Lord. Now, the abomination to the Lord is something that makes God sick and want to puke. You understand? That's really what that means. It makes God want to vomit. That's what an abomination is. It's sickening to Him. So what is sickening to Him? Somebody who says, oh, well, it's okay, they're wicked, they live in wicked, but hey, they're all right. God says for a saved person to say that somebody who's living wickedly is okay makes God sick. And he that condemneth the just, somebody that runs down somebody who's living for God, it's the same to God. Both of them make Him sick. One's the same as the other to God. You know what? When you do that, if you're running down somebody who's living for God and trashing somebody who's living for God, hey, you're out of your mind. What are you doing that for? That's wrong. And it's just as wrong to look at somebody who's living wickedly and say, oh, well, he's a good guy. Oh, they're great people. We just love them. You know, hey, listen, and you don't condemn what they're doing? That's sickening. It's sickening. So, well, wait a minute. I got people in my family, preacher, who do those things, who live wicked. I can't run them down. I can't turn my back on them. I can't deny them. I can't look at them that way. Well, God says, listen, in Psalm 82:2, how long will you judge unjustly? God asked the question, and accept the persons of the wicked. God said, why are you accepting persons that are living wickedly? Now you say, wait a minute, am I not to love them? You love them for Christ's sake. You want them to get saved. You try to witness to them. It doesn't mean you're ugly to them and hateful to them, but you don't accept their wickedness. You don't gloss it over and act like it doesn't bother you. Listen to another one here, Proverbs 24:23. These things also belong to the wise. It is not good to have respect of persons in judgment. You say, well, that's my brother, so I can't talk about him. That's my brother, so I shouldn't have an opinion in that matter, because that's my brother. Or that's my son, or that's my mama, or that's my daddy, or that's my grandpa, or that's my grandma, or my aunt, or my uncle. I can't look at them like that, because they're kinfolks. No, God says you shouldn't have respect to persons in judgment. It shouldn't bother me what they're doing because they're kin to me. No, God says, nah, that ain't the way you do it. Amen. What was that verse about? The Bible, Jesus said, any man come after me and hate not his father and his mother, brothers and sisters, spouse, children, his own life also cannot be my disciple. If you love them more than you love me, you can't follow me. Amen. If you're saying, I'm not going to let what they're doing bother me. It shouldn't bother me because I shouldn't say nothing to them. I should just leave them alone and keep quiet and hush and just act like I don't see it or act like it doesn't bother me. Hey, God says that is not how you're to handle this. You're to judge righteously and not have respect to persons in judgment. God intends for us to judge. But He said, don't be a hypocrite in doing so. Amen. Some of this stuff's hard to hear. I know it is because of human nature. I know how human nature is. I know how we are when it comes to people we care about. Again, I've not told you to be ugly to anybody. I've not told you to think of yourself as being better than somebody else. I'm not saying that you're to be high and mighty and look down your nose and scrutinize. But what I'm telling you is, you don't gloss over sin. You don't act like, hey, it ain't no big deal because that's so-and-so. Now let's move on to something else. We're to judge sin in the church. We're to judge sin in the church. That's what God told us to do. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Turn there in your Bibles. Stay with me this morning. I know some of y'all didn't go to bed till late last night, so stay with me. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 3. Judging sin inside this church or any church that you're a part of. Chapter 5, verse 3 of 1 Corinthians. Here he starts. Paul says, "For I verily, as absent in body, but present in spirit." He said, "I'm not there, but I am in agreement." He said, "I have judged already." Paul, you judging? Yeah, he judged it already. He judged the situation of the man who was having, he was committing fornication with his stepmother. Amen. There was adultery going on between a man and his stepmother. He said, "I've already judged the situation." He said, "As though I were present concerning him that hath so done this deed." Listen to what he says. "In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus." Now, I guarantee you, somebody here don't know what that means. Here's what he's saying. You're going to have to make a judgment call here based on God's word. God doesn't tolerate fornication and adultery. God's not going to tolerate y'all glossing over fornication and adultery. This man is living in a situation where he's committing adultery with his stepmother, and y'all can't just let him keep coming to church and y'all acting like it ain't going on. So what you need to do is you need to tell him to hit the road. You say, what does that mean? Well, the people call it churching them. Church discipline. It don't get practiced much anymore because people don't like it. It makes people feel bad. We all start feeling guilty, like, well, we're doing things wrong too. People don't like to feel that way. Hey, I've had to church somebody in here before. It's been years ago, and it made some people real uncomfortable. But it was necessary to tell them to hit the road. They were lying to everybody in the church all the time. Over and over and over and over, lie after lie upon lie. And I had to say, look, I had the person stand right here in this spot, right here, and look at everybody in the congregation and tell them all that they'd been lying to them. And they still walked out of here and trashed me. It's okay. It doesn't bother me that they trashed me. I've been trashed before. I'll be trashed again. That's not a big deal. The fact of it was, they were lying to the Lord's church. And I wasn't going to tolerate it. God doesn't tolerate lying. God doesn't tolerate fornication. And just like Paul said about that, hey, I've already made up my mind. You need to turn them over to Satan. If they want to live for Satan, let them turn them over to Satan. Let him destroy the flesh. That means if they're going to continue to live in sin, they need to do it outside the church and go ahead and destroy their life, but don't destroy the church in here while they're doing it. You have to use a little judgment to do that. Amen. Let's read the rest of that. He said, "Destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus." Evidently, this man, though he were backslidden and doing some horrendous things, had at one time made a profession of faith in Christ. That's evidently what had happened because that's what Paul said. Though he destroy his life in sin, listen, if he's saved, he's going to heaven, but he's going to be ashamed when he gets there. That ain't for me to decide. That's between him and God. I don't know whether he's saved or not, but that's what Paul said. Amen. He said, "Your glorying is not good." Y'all acting like it ain't no big deal. That's not good. He said, "Know you not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump?" Hey, don't take just a little bit of yeast to make bread dough rise. I've watched enough cooking shows. I know that. I'm not a bread maker, but I've watched enough cooking shows. It'll just keep rising and keep rising. As long as it's warm covered, it'll keep rising. Amen. And as long as you let sin go on and everybody hushes up about it, it'll just get bigger and bigger and bigger in the church. Amen. He said, Paul said, purge out the old leaven that you may be a new lump. Get rid of the person who's committing gross iniquity in your church. Get them out of there. He said, as you are unleavened for craving Christ, our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. We need to be sincere and true when we come to church. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators. He said, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then you must needs go out of the world. Paul is saying, look here, he's saying simply this. I know you can't get away from sin. It's out there. But what he's saying is, it ought not be in the church house. We're going to get some more here. Listen. He said, but now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man, get this part, that is called a brother. Why is he called a brother? Because he says he's saved. He's a part of the church. If any man that's called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or idolater, or railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such a one, know not to eat. He's talking about the Lord's Supper. Amen. We're not fellowship. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? That's people out there. He said, you know, that's not my job to judge, go around judging everybody. Hey, that's God's job. They're lost sinners. God's judgment is already on them. That's why he's saying that. God's already pronounced judgment on the lost. Do not ye judge them that are within? Listen, we're all saved the same way. We all come in the same blood. We've all got the same birth if we're saved. So therefore, we're on equal footing and able to look over and say, hey, wait a minute. This is going on. This is not up to God's standard. This can't go on in God's house. Amen. Now, there's a proper way to do it. Amen. We're not just jump up and holler about every little thing we see wrong. There's a proper way to do it. And if we have an issue, we'll deal with it the right way. But the point of the matter is that God has a standard. And we're to judge according to His standards. Amen. So we see that. So we're to judge sin in the church. So when a Christian sees another Christian going into sin, it is not wrong to say, hey, my brother, hey, my sister, look, the Lord's Word says this. Don't you let the devil drag you in that direction. There is nothing wrong with doing that. They say, don't you judge me. Hey, listen to me. That's what God told me to do. I'll tell you what else we're to do. We're to judge matters between brethren. Look in chapter 6, 1 Corinthians. Turn there. Chapter 6. We're to judge matters between brethren. Chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. The Bible says, dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Hey, If just for the sake of argument, if, say, Mama buys something from Joanna, and Joanna gives her whatever she's buying, I know Joanna's selling Avon, I'm just using it for an example, this ain't never going to happen in a million years, but here's what I'm just saying. If Mom says, hey, I'm going to place this order, and Joanna gets the order for her, And Mom gets it, but she don't ever pay Joanna. Before Joanna goes down here and files a claim in small claims court to get her money out of Mom, hey, she needs to come before the church and say, hey, wait a minute. She's a member of good standing here. And she's got an unpaid debt. I need something done here. We are more qualified to judge that than the courthouse. Do you understand that? Now, I understand if there's some kind of horrible thing that takes place. Now listen to me. If there's something like murder, if it's something like a in this day and time we live in, there's child molestations and all kinds of things like that. There are certain things that a church doesn't need to judge. There are certain things that need to be turned over to the authorities, and I understand that. But I'm talking about in matters where things could be resolved within amongst people without going to court, things ought to be judged before the brethren. Rather than dragging God's people before a courthouse and an unjust, unsaved judge and unsaved lawyers. He said in verse 2, he said, "Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? We're going to rule and reign with Christ." Amen. There's a millennium coming where the Lord's going to rule and reign on this earth for 1,000 years, and those who've been faithful to Him are going to rule and reign with Him. We're going to judge with Him. "And if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters?" Hey, He's telling us that we're to judge. He said, "Know you not that we shall judge angels?" Now that blows my mind. I have no idea how I'm going to judge an angel, Thomas. I can't even conceive of that. Brother Martin, I can't even conceive of me and you sitting around judging angels. But the Bible says that. Some of these things that the Bible says that blow my mind. Amen? He said, now listen, he said, "How much more the things that pertain to this life?" Listen, we got enough sense to work things out. "If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church." Do you see what he says? The least capable to judge. Look, I would say in this church right now, that would probably be the youngest kids in here. I think if it was, just you imagine the matter that I just spoke of. If I set Megan and Jackson up here, and I said, "Megan and Jackson, she sold her some stuff and she didn't pay for it. What do y'all think she ought to do?" You know what they'd say? "She ought to pay for it." They got enough sense to know that. You ain't got to drag your matters before the world. God says the church is to judge matters. Hey, we just get back to the Bible, everything will be fine. Amen. Put my glasses on right at work too. Amen. Turn them upside down. He said, "Is it not? I speak to your shame. Is it so that there's not a wise man among you? No, not one that should be able to judge between his brethren." So we ought to judge matters in the church. All right, here's another one. We're to judge preaching. Now I'm going to say this, and you listen very closely. We are an independent Baptist church. Independent Baptist means just exactly that. We don't have a loyalty to any other Baptist church in the world. I'm not affiliated with any other preacher necessarily unless I want to be. Okay? Our church is not affiliated with any other church, and we don't answer to any other church. We answer to heaven, and here's our rule book, and that's it. Amen. Now, having said that, Every independent Baptist church is different. We're like snowflakes. There ain't two of them the same. Hey, they ain't two. There are some who rally together and embrace the same things. And the Bible talks about the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. You remember we're in Revelation, where Jesus said there was one thing that he hated because a certain church, they had the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. That doctrine of the Nicolaitans is a hierarchy within the church. That's what the best scholars seem to think it was a hierarchy where you had the preachers up here on this level, way up high, and then you had all the congregation members way down here. And so you had preachers who were untouchable. And in some certain independent Baptist churches, in some of the big ones, the ones with mega million-dollar operations with huge auditoriums, the preachers, they're almost like God men, and they're untouchable. And how dare you ever question anything they say? There were men like Jack Hiles who were that way. Pastored the largest church in America for a while. He died in 2001, but he pastored the largest church in America, and people did not question his authority. There have been other, his son-in-law who took the church after him, who was caught in sexual sin. Nobody questioned him. Church over here in Mesquite, where a man was caught in sexual sin. Nobody questioned him. Can I tell you something this morning very clearly? I am nobody special but to God. I ain't putting myself on no pedestal. I know I ain't anything more than just a man. God help us if we ever get to thinking that we're above reproach. God help us if we ever get to thinking that what we say is the Word of God, unless we're speaking the Word of God. We are to judge preaching. I said all that to tell you this. I don't want you to take me at my word. He used to say, I have some respect for what he did say, that man Jack Hiles, but not a whole lot. The more I find out about him, the less I have. But he used to say this a lot. He'd say, close your Bibles and listen to me. Close your Bibles and listen to me. Let me tell you something. Best thing you do is keep that Bible open. We're not here to preach stories. We're here to preach the Word of God. There's too many preachers that preach stories. They give you a verse to jump off at, and then they preach stories the whole sermon, and you don't get any truth. You get their stories, and people end up worshiping the men. Amen. They frown upon this verse-by-verse preaching. We're to judge preaching. Here's the Bible on it. Listen, 1 Corinthians 14:29. Let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other judge. That's what it says. Let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other judge. In other words, sit back and make sure what that guy said was right. Amen. I tell you what, Brother Martin, you know the Word of God. If I say something wrong, I want you to take me aside after it's over and say, preacher, that was wrong what you said. And you know what? I'll have the grace to receive it, because that's the way I want. That's the way things should be. Amen. Acts 17:11. The Bible said these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, talking about the people of the church at Berea. He said, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily. Look, whether those things were so. You know what they did? They took Paul's preaching in, and then they went back and they judged it to make sure it was right. They judged the Apostle Paul. And he said, you know what? They called him noble for doing so. They were doing the right thing by judging. Hey, don't you take what I say and believe it as gospel truth. You better look it up for yourself. That's why you've got a Bible. Hey, we're not the Catholic Church. Catholic Church discourages its congregants from having Bibles. They don't want them to get in there and find out what they're telling them ain't true. Listen, they've tried to keep the world without a Bible for years and centuries. Amen. We're Bible-believing people. Get in it and search it for yourself. 1 Thessalonians 5:21, the Bible says, prove all things. Judge it. Check it out. Hold fast that which is good. He's saying throw away stuff that ain't no good and hold fast to the things that are good. What else are we to do? I'm getting close to the end. Well, let's stay with it. We're to judge those who preach false gospels, false Christs, and false spirits. Amen? That's where you get in trouble. Well, he shouldn't talk about that preacher. He shouldn't say that about that so-and-so. You shouldn't run down Joel Osteen. You shouldn't say that stuff about T.D. Jakes. You shouldn't say anything about Benny Hinn. Yeah, I like them. You shouldn't say anything about them. Listen, there's people who get offended. I used to be a woman sit back here named Novella Wilson. She's probably, I don't know whether she's still alive or she's in heaven, but she used to sit back there about where that little blanket's laying. And she liked Benny Hinn. She'd sit at home and she'd watch Benny Hinn. And anytime I'd make any mention of Benny Hinn, she'd sit back there and shake her fist at me and say, you don't talk about Benny. Used to crack me up because she wasn't no threat to me. I just thought she's funny. You remember that, Miss Betty? You remember Miss Wilson? Don't you talk about Benny Hinn. Well, I'm going to tell you something. There's lots of folks cringe, maybe not in here, but that listen when I talk about Joel Osteen. Let me mention something or post something online about Joel Osteen. People get mad. They don't like it. How dare you judge Joel? He's a good preacher. He just says good things. He's so helpful. Everybody gets a blessing from Joel. No, they don't. Let's listen to the Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians 11, 1 through 4. He said, I would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly. And indeed, bear with me. He said, for I'm jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety. See, it ain't just outright lies. It's subtlety. It's sneakiness. It sounds almost, it's got that serpent hiss in it. It sounds so close to the truth. That's why I warn you about that Duck Dynasty stuff. Because you listen to Phil Robertson, the dad of the Duck Dynasty folks, talk, and everything he says sounds so close. And he just slips that little baptismal regeneration thing in there. He just slips it in the middle of what he's saying. And if you ain't careful, you'll miss it. Amen. Paul said, but I fear. I'm afraid that as the serpent beguiled Eve, and he questioned, he just said, have God said? Did God really say that? So that your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ. It ain't hard to get it. It ain't complicated. Y'all look up here. Quit playing back there. Hey, it's simple. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus whom we have not preached. You say, another Jesus? Yeah, you start saying Jesus said this and Jesus said that. Something Jesus ain't never said. You start painting a picture of a Jesus that don't line up with this Bible. Or if you receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, he said, you might well bear with him. What Paul's saying, if you're going to go along following that stuff, well, just go on. But you'll notice the same Paul in Galatians 1, 8 through 10 said, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And that phrase there, let him be accursed, it's literally, let him burn in hell. Is he going to be an apostate and preach to you something else? Let him go to hell. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? Listen to me, quit talking back here. If I seek to please men or God or men, for if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. If I'm out to please men and tickle ears, I shouldn't be a preacher. If I'm out to just draw a big congregation, I shouldn't even be a preacher. Amen. If I'm out to make people comfortable, Then just preach some nonsense prosperity gospel, then I ought not be a preacher. So you've got to have the right by God's holy word to judge what's true and what's not true, and to stand against it and say, that's out of hell, man. Don't listen to that garbage. God give us that right to judge. How dare man come at me and tell me I shouldn't do that, and try to slander Jesus and try to make Jesus say something he didn't say. Amen. We're to judge the works of darkness. Amen. Ephesians 5:11. I'm going to hurry and get done. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. You know what reprove means? It means expose them. Hey, a large part of the ministry that God's called me to do is to expose error. That's a large part of what God's called me to do. That's what our radio ministry is about, is exposing error and opening people's eyes and getting them to see it for what it is, because we live in a very dangerous age of deception where Satan is deceiving people on the right hand and on the left. Everywhere you turn, we live in perilous times. This is an age of subtle, simplistic seduction. And people have got to be made aware of what's wrong. We've got to expose the works of darkness. I'm telling you, listen to me, I watched a little video clip last night on what happened in Massachusetts after they made homosexual marriage legal. What they did, immediately they started going into the high schools. They got the high schoolers involved in the gay pride marches and gay pride parades. Immediately they started, then next year they went to the middle schools and they brought in books to try to convince kids, these My Two Mommies and My Two Daddies, and they started putting it in their homework. They started infiltrating their homework with questions about situations like that. And then they went to the elementary school. And then they brought in the sexual Planned Parenthood counseling talks with the kindergartners, where they talk about vile things that you and I don't even want to talk about. And they shut the cameras out and the recording devices, and they talk about horrible, horrendous sexual atrocities with children. And I'm going to tell you something. A man of God has got to stand up and speak out against this mess. Because who else is going to? Reprove them. Expose them. Turn a light on the roaches. Romans 16, 17, and 18. He said, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have received, and avoid them." Hey, expose them, mark them, and avoid them. That's what God said. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. It's out for money. And their own sexual wicked perversion. Their own corruption. Their own greed. And by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Those who just can't see it for what it is. So that's why somebody has to stand up and expose it so they can see it. God called us to judgment. You understand what I'm saying? God called you to judgment. God didn't just call the preacher. He called you to judgment. We are to judge the things of this world. We are to stand in the gap for those who can't see it. We're to judge spirits. Acts 20, 20, 29. "And I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock." 1 Timothy 4, 1. "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." 1 John 4, 1. "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." There are false prophets. There are so many. I'd hate to be lost trying to find the truth today. I would hate to be looking for the truth. I wouldn't know where to turn. There, I mean, good night. You talk about a needle in a haystack. Real, old-fashioned, true Bible preaching is rare as hen's teeth. There are lies everywhere. My goodness. The only way you can tell is by the Word of God. Back in 1996, when I came out of the world, decided I was going to live for God after years of running from God, I finally decided I'm going to serve God. I'm going to give Him my all. I didn't decide. He told me I was going to. He brought me to the edge and showed me the other side, as I said. Hey, He said, "It's sink or swim time, boy." And I said, "Lord, You can have me." And when I did, I wanted to make sure I was in the right crowd. So I started searching. I was willing to go wherever the right crowd was. And I let God direct me, and it was only His grace and His mercy that got me to the right place. And there's a lot of Baptists I wouldn't have nothing to do with. Amen. But we're to judge. How dare they say judge not? That's what they don't want us to do. We are to judge. Amen. We're to judge all things. That's what the Bible says. Look in 1 Corinthians 2. Amen. Look there. I want you to see that. I want you to see it with your own eyeballs. 1 Corinthians 2. We're almost done, y'all. 1 Corinthians 2, 15 through 16. I know I said that a while ago. Joe, we're on Baptist preacher time. Amen. But we're getting close. We're circling the field. We're looking for a good spot to land. Our landing gear's down. Amen. We can see the runway anyway. 1 Corinthians 2, 15 and 16. We are to judge all things. Listen to it. But he that is spiritual, that doesn't mean somebody who's into voodoo or somebody that's into Wicca or something like that. Listen, hey, he that is spiritual, that means he that has Christ, judgeth all things. All things? What do you mean, preacher? All things. Well, what does all things mean? All things. Now, but yet he himself is judged of no man. Don't you let somebody tell you not to judge. Isn't that what they just said? Don't you let somebody judge you because you're judging. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Do you understand that? Because you're saved, the Holy Spirit of God lives inside of you. And if you are in your Bible and you are close to the Lord and you're intent on serving Him and you've given Him your life, you've surrendered to Him, listen, you have the mind of Christ. And how in the world is somebody out there lost in the world going to judge you and tell you not to judge? You have the mind of Christ. And you know what? Anybody else who's a born-again Christian is not going to judge you for judging because they're going to see the same thing you do. If they love the Word of God and they believe the Word of God, they'll see it. If they judge the same way you judge, they're going to see the same thing you see. And it ain't your opinion, it's God's standard. You see what I'm saying? That's what it means to judge righteous judgment. We're not judged according to our opinion, but according to the Word of God. Philippians 1, 9 and 10. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Do you know what? When you start judging according to the Word of God, it stirs the love within you. When you see things for the way Christ sees them, you'll love the way Christ loves. That's what it's saying. Paul said, and this I pray, this is my prayer, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge. Well, that knowledge comes from understanding, and that understanding comes from judgment. Once you get what's right, what God wants and what God doesn't want, what God loves and what God doesn't love, what God hates and what God doesn't hate, you'll have more and more understanding of Christ. And the more of Christ you have, the more love you're going to have. He said that you may approve things that are excellent, and that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. We're to judge things. Again, the spiritual man does not judge things by his own thinking, but by the mind of Christ in the Word of God. This has got to be your standard. If you go anywhere else for a standard, if you go by your opinion, you've gone wrong. If you go by your feelings, you've gone wrong. If you've gone by the way we've always done things, you've gone wrong. Listen, we live in a sinful world full of lies and error and spiritual deception. And we know that we have the truth of God in the Scripture. And we're to judge all things by that. Amen? This is the truth, y'all. This is the truth. This is the measuring stick. You don't have to make a judgment call. God's already made it. You just simply lay God's judgment ruler down, and if it don't measure up, it ain't measuring up. But I'm going to close with a few thoughts here. We need to be very careful in this day and time that we live in to exercise spiritual judgment, because this is a very corrupt time of political correctness that we're living in. and there are harsh critics everywhere of standing for truth. Like that man said in the beginning in that article, if you stand against something, you're going to be stood against. Pressure is on us from every side to see things man's way. You need to remember what God's warned us about in the Bible. I'm going to give you a few scriptures and we'll go to the house. Proverbs 29:25 says, the fear of man bringeth a snare. You worry about what other people think, you'll never judge right. Acts 5:29, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. Listen, it doesn't matter what anybody thinks. It doesn't matter what Obama says. It doesn't matter what Congress says. It doesn't matter what the Senate says or the Supreme Court says. It matters what God says. Luke 9:26, for whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, Jesus said, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. I don't want Jesus to be ashamed of me because I was ashamed of him. I was ashamed of his word and I was ashamed to stand for what was true and what was right because man put pressure on me to cave. And I close with this one. Listen to it very carefully. A very, very simple but yet often misunderstood scripture. Jesus said, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. We need to be careful. Listen to me. We need to be very careful that in this day and time that we don't spend our time too much fighting the corruption of this world. It's going to be corrupt. We can get off kilter if we spend all our time trying to stop what's going on. That's not our job. Listen, the Apostle Paul didn't make banners and form protests and march and all that kind of stuff. He didn't march against the wickedness of Rome. Do you remember that anywhere in the Bible? Where Paul got all the people in Ephesus to come down and they got their bullhorns and listen, there's nothing wrong with preaching against sin and preaching repentance. But I'm telling you, they didn't go down there and try to change City Hall. They didn't go. God helped them who stand outside abortion clinics and try to keep people from going and getting abortions. I'm all for what they're doing, but that's not my calling. Listen, there's been abortions ever since people have been having babies, and there's going to continue to be abortions. I'm not saying I like it or wish it would keep on going. Hey, I wish it all stopped. But I realize I can't spend all my time fighting abortion. And I wish that man would never lay with man and woman would never lay with woman because it is an abomination to God. But I can't spend all my time at homosexual gay pride parades trying to stop them from doing it. That ain't my fight. I'm going to preach against it, but that's not my fight to go try to stop them. That's the world, and it's corrupt, and it's wicked. I spend all my time fighting people that are lost. I ain't never going to do anything for anybody that's saved. And I ain't going to never do anything to get people saved. My main job is to witness for Christ. That's my main job, to be a witness for Christ. Amen? I'm to warn people against sin. I am to judge and be an example and be a watchman for those around me who are believers and those who love the Lord. I'm to warn sinners of the wrath of God in the public arena. Not in the church house, that's where the saints gather. The outside where the sinners are. I'm to warn against God's wrath that is coming judgment. But let's be careful not to lose sight of the gospel. But the next time somebody tells you, judge not. Judge not. See, God's already done the judging. This book already judged you. I'm just telling you what it says. Amen? Let's stand together. I realize there are folks in this room this morning who've got loved ones that are lost. You've got loved ones who are backslidden. Got loved ones who are doing things that you know God doesn't approve of. And the invitation may be open for you is to come and lay them at God's throne afresh. because you know, having the mind of Christ, you know that maybe you've been glossing over it because they're close to you. And you've got to lay them at God's feet and say, Lord, I know that's wrong. Give me the grace to stand against it and not gloss over it. Give me the words to share with them, to let them know that I know it's not right, but yet I love them and want them to be right with thee. Give us a backbone. Maybe you need to come and ask God to forgive you for being a hypocrite in some area of your life. I don't know what the need is this morning, but God does. And He laid the message on my heart, and evidently we needed it this morning. So let's let God have His way in our life. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I pray, Lord, You'd bless the invitation this morning. Lord, I don't know who it's for or what it's for, but Lord, You do. And Lord, we ask that You work in our midst, Father, and You deal with us, Lord, according to our need, Father. Lord, according to our life. You know us better than we know ourselves. So, Father, we ask You be merciful. And, Lord, You deal with us and be thorough. Lord, we just love You and we praise You this morning for the Word of God. Lord, we thank You that no matter what the world tells us, the Bible has set us straight. And we ask Your blessing this morning. We ask it in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.